brought to you by Penguin.
The Last Bookstore on Earth by Lily Braun Arnold, read by Bailey Carr.
To be. Sorry for killing you off in everything I write. Chapter 1. I've given this whole thing enough thought that I can confidently say overtime sucks. Especially 9,667 hours of it. Girl boss, you might say, you earn that dough. In response, I roll my eyes. In response, I say, I will die in this godforsaken bookstore, and there will be no one to remove my rotting body from the floor. I will die surrounded by Poe, Nietzsche, and Schusterman, wedged halfway between young adult and classics. And one day, some alien archaeologist will find my body and study it like Pompeii. He will not say, girl boss, you earn that dough. He will say, which roughly translates to, sucker. I will die here alone, bored out of my mind. I will die here staring at the lock and key journals, the ribbon twirlers, and the overly dramatic book covers that litter the business section. How to win yourself a wife. And make $1 million in 10 easy steps, the titles read, as a man with a fake tan and a receding hairline poses below them. On the rack to my right, the birthday cards with their corny slogans about needing to drink more wine and hating your children have faded almost completely to white. They taunt me, as if to say, why did you even bother staying? Nothing else here did. I wasn't always so alone at the last bookstore on Earth. At least I think it is. Most cell phone towers are down and global communication is on the fritz, so who knows if it's actually the last bookstore on Earth? It is to me. I used to have Eva, who was 3 years older than me and 20 years too old to be dealing with my BS. Eva didn't mince words. Eva wasn't afraid of going into the basement at night, even though God knows what was hiding down there. Eva couldn't sing, but she sure as hell tried. She left 9 months and 17 days ago. She said that she wanted to explore. She wanted to see what was left of the world. She said it in the same way parents say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. And I really did enjoy your band concert and didn't at all notice when you messed up in measure 13 of Contrapuntus 9. She wouldn't look me in the eye. I told myself it was okay and that I was fine with it. I told myself that I liked the quiet that hung in the air, because how much did I really like people in the first place? How much did I really need someone to talk to loudly and chew with their mouth open? I told myself that there was a difference between being alone and being lonely. They weren't a package deal. I told myself she would be back soon, like she said she would be. And I counted the days on the wall, adding tally marks and permanent marker until I lost count and energy. After the almost end of the world, when I realized I had no home to go back to, I had chosen to come back here. So had Eva, until she didn't. I unhook the closed sign in the front window, the metal uncomfortably warm between my sweaty fingers. I try not to think about Eva and the tally marks and how unbearably hot it is. Tendrils of hair slick themselves to the back of my neck, having managed to weasel their way out of a sloppy ponytail. I try not to think about anything as I look at the miles of nothingness outside. The middle of suburban New Jersey, of course, is no more interesting after the almost end of the world than it was before. Even though there are no more terrible drivers or men with scary accents who say things like pork roll, Bruce Springsteen, and down the shore, there are also no more Coke slushies or Wawas. It's a net zero equation. I flip the closed sign on the door so that it says open, even though what I really want to do is hurl it at the wall. But I don't.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?